This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise for Allah. We praise Him. We thank Him. We ask Him for His help. And we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger and mab'ad. First of all, my dearest sisters and brothers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. SubhanAllah, there's been so much happening. And I know that for many of us this year, you know, we feel very distracted with all that's been going on. And not having any lessons or, you know, masajid are closed. You know, we feel deprived of having that social network around us that usually helps us to motivate ourselves for Ramadan. And one of the problems a lot of people are complaining about this year in particular is, you know, not feeling ready for the coming of Ramadan. So we need to realize that, you know, regardless of our situation, whatever external factors that are facing us at the moment, you know, our goal for Ramadan is still the same. So that's why if you're not feeling motivated yet, the first thing you need to do is to review your goal for Ramadan. You know, go back to what is your goal out of Ramadan in the first place. Now, Allah Ta'ala, if we read in Surah Baqarah, He tells us clearly what is the goal we should be aiming for. When He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ O you who believe, fasting was prescribed upon you just as it was prescribed for those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ That you may receive taqwa. That you may reach a higher level with Allah Ta'ala, a higher level of awareness, a higher level of, you know, consciousness of Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta'ala. And so that, inshallah, when you leave Ramadan, you feel your iman is increased due to how much acts of worship and acts of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you did in this month. So that's why, you know, first of all, review that goal and go back to that goal because the goal has not changed. Yes, the circumstances have changed, but our goal is still exactly the same. And then number two, you need to renew your intention. You know, subhanAllah, despite whatever circumstances we're facing right now, your intention needs to be to do your best, okay? You do your best despite your circumstances. And Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَمَا يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ Whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides their heart. So as long as you have that sincere intention for Allah Ta'ala to do your best in this month, Allah will guide your heart to strive and to get the best out this month, inshallah. And subhanAllah, you know, despite all of the circumstances we're facing this year, there's no reason why this Ramadan can't be the best one you've ever had. You know, it's definitely going to be the most memorable Ramadan that most of us have ever had, for sure. You know, a lot of the previous Ramadans we've had, if you think about them, it's like repetitive, like it's been the same thing over and over every year. But this one is going to definitely be one that's very memorable for all of us. Because, subhanAllah, you think about it, this year, almost everything has been taken away from you. So now it's really just about you and Allah, right? You know, each year I usually give reminders to my, you know, to the sisters that attend my lessons. You know, one of the advices I usually give them is, you know, free up your time as much as possible from any of the distractions that you have in your life so that you have more time to focus on your ibadah. But subhanAllah, this year we find that Allah Ta'ala has already done that for most of us. He's taken away so many of those distractions that, you know, take up a lot of our time. You know, as you can see, being in lockdown, you're saving a lot of time you know, the normal time you take to normally travel to work or to school or to uni, that's being saved for you. A lot of, you know, sisters in particular who tend to cook a lot in this month and preparing for crowds that come over, you know, that time has been saved for them. So, you know, all that time that people tend to spend in the kitchen preparing and, you know, getting the house ready and all of these things for the guests, all of that time, inshallah, is going to be saved. So we have more time for ibadah, inshallah. And then on top of that, you know, you've got the time saved from, you know, the time that people spend, like, you know, socializing. We spend a lot of time socializing. Some people, they spend all night socializing, you know. So this year will be what we can call a very simple type of Ramadan. And this Ramadan will be all about you and your personal relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, inshallah. And one of the greatest lessons you're going to learn from this year's Ramadan, inshallah, in particular, is how to have true ihsan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained to us what is al-ihsan. And ta'budu Allaha ka'annaka tarahu fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak. That you worship Allah Ta'ala as if you can see him. And even if you can't see him, then know that he sees you. So this is what this Ramadan is going to be about in particular. Because this Ramadan, there's not going to be anyone except maybe your closest family members who are going to see what you do. So her fast this month is going to do it purely for the sake of Allah. You don't have that social network around you anymore to see if you're fasting or not. And whoever prays at night during this month of Ramadan, they're going to be praying it purely for the sake of Allah, inshallah. Because, you know, we don't have that masjid to go to this year. We don't have that congregation of people around us to notice whether we're coming to pray Tarawih or not, you know, or to notice how many raka'at we pray or how long we stand in prayer. That's going to be all between us and Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. So in a lot of ways, this Ramadan, my dearest sisters and brothers, is going to be like a test to see where you really are with Allah. You know, it's like, think of this Ramadan as a test to see what you really would do when there's no one around to watch what you're doing. You know, when you take away all that socializing and the usual excitement, what will your ibadah of Allah really look like? May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah give us success, inshallah, in showing Allah how sincere we are in this month, bi-idhnillah. The other thing as well, the next step we want to take in, you know, trying to motivate ourselves and getting the best out of this month, right, is sincere tawbah to Allah. It's very important for anyone upon entering into Ramadan that they make sincere tawbah, sincere repentance back to Allah. You know, do a lot of istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The reason being because sins we have done are like shackles on our hearts, and they can come in between you and getting the guidance of Allah Ta'ala, guiding you towards those good deeds in Ramadan. So make a lot of istighfar, ask Allah, you know, a lot for, you know, make tawbah, return back to him, you know, ask for forgiveness for any sins you've done. And on top of that, it's very important to let go of any bad feelings towards others, because that's another thing that can, you know, be like an obstacle between you coming close to Allah in this month. You're so busy thinking about that other person when you should be thinking about Allah alone. So try your best just to let go, especially in this month, let go of any bad feelings towards others and just enter it with, you know, a clean heart, inshallah, as much as possible. Then the next thing is to plan how you're going to spend your time. Sisters and brothers, in so many ways, we are truly blessed that Allah Ta'ala has chosen for us to spend Ramadan while in lockdown. You know, think about what is one of the biggest complaints so many people out there have right now. You know, they're bored. That's one of the biggest complaints people are complaining about, right? But for us, my dear sisters and brothers, we're going to be busy with our Ramadan ibadah. So we're going to have so much to do in this, you know, subhanAllah. Allah's giving us so much to do because he's brought Ramadan in the very time we're in this lockdown. So not only that, from his blessing upon us is that all that we're going to be busy with is counted as ibadah for us. It's counted as ibadah, as worship, acts of worship, that we're going to find in our scales of hasanat on Yom Qiyamah, inshallah. SubhanAllah, I remember a couple of years ago, I went for a major operation, you know, and I was in the hospital and I was looking at the other people in the hospital, you know, people who don't know Allah, right? And when you've had a major operation, you can't do a lot. You have to just lie there. And I was looking at them, I was thinking, SubhanAllah, how blessed am I as a Muslimah? I'm sitting here in my bed. I have so much to do. I can revise my Quran. I can read my Quran. I can do adhkar. I can do dhikr. I can do dua. You know, this, I can read about, you know, I can seek knowledge. There's so much I can do as a Muslimah, SubhanAllah. Whereas somebody who doesn't have iman, what do they do all day? Just life is so empty, sitting there watching television, trying to find something to fill in their time. Whereas with us, we've got our routine. We've got our Ramadan routine, which, you know, fills in our day. So we become so busy focusing on achieving our Ramadan goals, we don't have time to feel bored. So what a blessing that Allah chose, you know, this time while we're in lockdown to, you know, that we would be, you know, meeting Ramadan at the same time. And SubhanAllah, also what I'm thinking about as well is the fact that it's wallahi a blessing that Allah Ta'ala chose that while we're in lockdown, that we would be going through Ramadan as well. Why? Because, you know, when you're going through a hardship, and especially with now we're going through a collective hardship, can you imagine how much more our, you know, rewards are multiplied for us, inshallah? How much more reward we're going to be getting for our patience due to this hardship that we're going through, because Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the month of Ramadan at the same time we're going through this hardship. So SubhanAllah, this is wallahi a huge blessing from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala upon us. Because remember that the greater the hardship, the greater the reward, inshallah. Okay, the next thing, so I was talking about plans we need to make for Ramadan. So when it comes to Ramadan, you need to have, first of all, your overall plan. What are the things that you are personally hoping to achieve out of this month? Now, remember that we're all on different levels and stages. Okay, so don't compare to others. You think about what is your personal best that you're hoping to achieve. Obviously, somebody who is fluent in reading the Arabic, you would expect them to complete reciting the whole of the Quran this month at least once, if not twice or more. Okay, but for somebody who is not as fluent, one of the things I used to do is I would start off at the beginning of the Quran and try to get through as much as I could, and then each year I try to get through a bit further each year until I could reach the end. Okay, or maybe for you it's going to be reciting Juz Amma every day. You're going to recite the last part of the Quran because you're familiar with that, right? So you've got to look at what is the best plan for yourself. And I suggest that if you're not really very fluent in Arabic, to get the English translation with the Arabic next to it. Read the Arabic with the English next to it or your other language so that you can get more out of the Quran, because it's not just about the reciting. We want to feel the Quran this month as well, right? So that's the first thing. Have your plan for how much Quran you hope to achieve, how much you want to read. And then also you need to have your plan for, you know, your prayers at night. Just because you're not going to the masjid, that doesn't mean we don't pray Taraweeh. Okay, so it's very important that you maintain your prayers despite you're not going to the masjid. And I just want to say something here, and that is that one of the things you need to do is, you know, the level that you're going to be praying, inshallah, in this month will depend on your own personal ability. But what I suggest for you is that you retain the same type of routine that you used to be upon in previous years. Whatever you used to do in Ramadan before, try to maintain that now, but in your home. Okay, so how much you used to pray in the masjid before, you try to maintain that. So that's in relation to the prayers. But, you know, for some people, you'll be able to pray like long raka'at because you know the Quran and you can hold the mushaf and recite from it, as you know in Taraweeh. For other people, you might have to pray many raka'at, okay? If you're like a new revert or somebody new to Islam, or, you know, you're not, you know, very good with Arabic, you may only know Surat Al-Ikhlas. So then you're going to try to pray as many raka'at as you can in the night. Okay. Tafsir, what's your goal for tafsir? What do you hope to, you know, read from tafsir? Charity as well. Charity. You know, think about what charity that you want to give in this month. Also secret deeds. You know, there are deeds that you might want to achieve, inshallah. Like, what makes Ramadan sweet are the secret deeds that you've done just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when you look back at Ramadan, you know you've got that sincere deed that, you know, you did that was between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it's like there are so many people going through hardships right now. So many people going through hardships. So many people, you know, maybe your secret deed could be, you know, getting some food and placing on somebody's doorstep that you know is in need, right? So there's so many deeds. SubhanAllah, Allah has opened up a huge realm of righteous deeds for us, in fact, due to this trial that we're all going through. The other thing you could do, you know, the other thing, another part of your overall plan would be make sure that you don't leave Ramadan except you've done many heartfelt du'as, okay? Heartfelt du'as where tears came from your eyes, right? Really begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Jannah and to be saved from the fire. Besides that, tawbah. Tawbah is very important. You know, try to, you know, repent sincerely back to Allah. Think about your past, sins that you have done, things that you've been battling, trying to give up. This is the time to really turn back to Allah and beg Him for His forgiveness, inshallah. Okay, so now we come to, you know, the main aims of our, you know, the main aims we want to get out of Ramadan. First of all, number one, your main aim out of Ramadan should be perfecting your fasting as much as possible, because the more perfect your fast is, the greater the reward. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi." Right? Whoever fasted Ramadan out of sincere iman and hoping for the reward from Allah, his previous sins will be forgiven. So that's our goal, sisters and brothers. That's our aim. We want to reach, you know, the most perfect level of fasting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we look at what's going on this Ramadan, we can see that so many of our usual distractions have been removed. Okay, the normal things like socializing and all that, like we said, it's all been removed. So what's the main one we're going to have to watch out for? Mainly social media. If I think about what is the main distraction, it's going to be our test for this Ramadan. It's going to be the social media. So, you know, watch out, not just social media, but the internet in general, right? So we need to really be careful from in regards to what we look at with our eyes. You know, watch out for the sins of the eyes. Watch out for wasting time. Watch out for the backbiting and slander that goes on online. Okay, these are a lot of the things we need to be very careful about when it comes to guarding our fasting in Ramadan. You know, in regards to social media, like as much as possible, try to limit it as much as possible. You know, if you can possibly spend your day in ibadah and treat yourself after Maghrib when you break your fast to go on social media to give yourself that time out, that's fine. But try to limit as much as you can. And I know that, subhanAllah, right now, we're actually being bombarded with the amount of, you know, talks and lessons and things like that online. So what I suggest is you just pick some very basic ones, because you don't want to be spending your whole time doing passive activities by, you know, just watching when you could have been reciting Quran, you know, being with the Quran. Because remember, this is the month of the Quran, ultimately, okay? So I would suggest you, if you're going to be looking for what to watch during Ramadan, online, I would be suggesting things relating to the Quran, but don't spend your whole day doing that. You know, you've got to have your time for ibadah, your time for prayers and these things. The other thing as well, you know, this year, one of our biggest tests this year, being in lockdown, is not to become angry and, you know, getting into arguments with our family members. It's definitely going to be a test. We all know that when we're stuck with our, you know, loved ones, it can become, you know, you can easily fall into arguments. Like if we're all feeling a bit stressed, a bit vulnerable, so it's a lot easier to fall into having, you know, getting angry with each other. So just remember that this is going to be part of your test of fasting. And remember what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us, that if you know, one of you becomes angry and, you know, someone tries to provoke you while you're fasting, to say, inni sa'im, inni sa'im. Verily, I am fasting. So what does that do when you say inni sa'im? First of all, it reminds yourself that you're trying to fast for the sake of Allah, and you're trying to perfect your fasting. Because if you get into an argument with someone, and if you start, you know, may the protector swearing, or, you know, in general, if you get angry and you start arguing, okay, it's definitely going to reduce your reward for your fasting. And you want every, you know, you want to get as much reward as you can for your fasting, right? Fasting is different levels. Not everybody's fasting is the same, and you want to get the maximum for your fasting, inshallah. So when you say inni sa'im, you're reminding yourself about your, you know, trying to be sincere for Allah in your fasting, but you're also reminding the other person, give me a break, you know, I'm trying to fast. So please just let me, you know, help me to protect my fast. And that leads me to the other thing as well here, which is, you know, focus this year in particular on showing ihsan to your family members. You know, as I said before, like, this Ramadan will be about having ihsan with Allah in particular, but also having ihsan with your family, okay? Because normally, you know, it's so easy for us to smile and be nice with everybody, you know, our sisters and brothers and those outside the house. But the real test this year will be showing ihsan with your family. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli, right? The best of you is the best to his family, and I'm the best to my family. Now, I know a lot of sisters, we all love to quote that about, you know, our husbands, but the honest truth is, this is for everyone. Like, as sisters as well, the best of us are the best to our families, and same with the brothers, right? So this Ramadan will be a test to see who really is the best of us, you know, when there's no one around to see. So that's the first thing. Your aim is to perfect your fasting, and that will be through how carefully you protect your fasting and your good treatment of those around you. Then the second thing to aim for is perfecting your prayers. Perfecting your prayers, trying to pray your prayers on time. A lot of people focus on the night prayers, but then they forget or they neglect their Fajr prayers. So you don't want to be, you know, sleeping in for your Fajr prayer, praying your prayers out of their times, okay, that they are the priority, okay? And the most loved of deeds, as salatu ala waqtiha, right? That the prayer in its time is the most beloved of deeds to Allah Ta'ala, okay? So make sure you try to perfect your prayers with khushu' to Allah, you know, with submission and, you know, ihsan to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And remember what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the reward for those who maintain the night prayers in this month. من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever stood in the nights of Ramadan with sincere iman and hoping for the reward from Allah Ta'ala, his previous sins will be forgiven. So this is why, my dear sisters and brothers, just because the masajid are closed, do not deprive yourself of this reward. You know, focus on praying during the nights of Ramadan. If you've got your family, then you can do it in jama'ah. You know, you can either get your husband to lead, or you've got a son who's old enough to lead, or if you're just, you know, a woman by yourself with some young children, you can, you know, lead your family. Okay, and do what you can. Even if you only know Surat Al-Ikhlas, that's fine, you know. Pray every rak'ah with Surat Al-Ikhlas if that's all you know. If you know more, then whatever, you know, whatever surahs of the Quran you know, recite them. And if you can read the Arabic, then, you know, read from the Mus'haf. You can hold it in your prayer. So this is, and as for when you can pray Tarawih, just to mention that as well, it's important to mention that, you know, Tarawih is basically the night prayer. So you can pray at the beginning of the night, and that's recommended for those people who they feel they might be lazy, and, you know, you might start getting tired, and then you might sleep all night and completely not pray, okay? So those people, I really strongly suggest you pray in the beginning of the night. But, you know, you can pray in the beginning, you can pray in the middle of the night, you can also pray it towards the end of the night. So it's all open You know, it's very flexible, but the most important thing is to spend some of the nights praying to Allah, like some of the time of the night praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the other aim will be to live with the Quran as much as possible and pondering over the ayat. And especially in light of what we're going through, my sisters and brothers, you know, when you think about what we're going through, the Quran should be more meaningful to us this year than any other year. Because when you read the ayat and you think about the trials and tribulations that came to people before, and then you think about what's happening to us right now and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to bring us back to Him and humble us and, you know, realize who is Al-Qawi Al-Aziz, who is the strong and mighty, and how weak are we? Okay, so aim to live with the Quran and really try to ponder over the verses this year. When you come to verses about the verses of Jannah, ask Allah to be you from the people of Jannah. When you come to verses about the fire, ask Allah to protect you from being from those who will enter the fire. When you come to verses that speak about, you know, those who do not believe or the hypocrites, ask Allah to protect you from having those characteristics. And when you come to the verses that talk about the mu'mineen, ask Allah Ta'ala to give you those characteristics and make you have more of those characteristics, because they are the characteristics that leads to a Jannah. Okay, so that's our overall plan, right? That's our overall plan for Ramadan. But now we come to the second part of our planning, which is the daily plan. And this is also what helps you to, you know, really make the most of your time when you have a daily plan. Okay, so the way I suggest normally for the daily plan, start off waking up a little bit before the time for suhoor. So in the night, you wake up a little bit before, like maybe half an hour before it's time for suhoor, so that you can pray qiyam al-layl, because this is the best part of the night when we know that Allah Ta'ala answers the dua, right? So if you can wake up at that time, and then, you know, you have your suhoor, and don't neglect having suhoor, because the suhoor is, you know, first of all, it is, you know, there's blessing in taking suhoor. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us also that the angels ask forgiveness for those who eat suhoor. So just that mere taking of that meal before you fast, you're getting rewards and hasanat for it. Then to pray your sunnah of fajr, when the adhan goes, pray sunnah, and your fajr prayer, of course. Then if you can, sit and remember Allah, right? Sit and do dhikr, and you can get your dua book out, you can recite duas, do dhikr, read Quran, if you can stay in your prayer place, doing that until the sun comes up, right? And then once the sun comes up, about 15 minutes after the sun's come up, you can pray Salat al-Duha, which is the prayer that can be prayed from the time the sun rises up until just before Dhuhr. Okay, and whoever does this prayer, it is a sadaqah on every joint in the body, which is 360. So it's like you're doing shukr to Allah. When you pray Salat al-Duha, when you pray the Duha prayer, it's like you're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given you of this body, of this healthy body, alhamdulillah, right? So if you want to sleep after praying that prayer, then you can sleep for a while and then wake up and you can take wudu again. And you can pray more, because just to mention that the duha prayer, you can pray it as rakatain, which is two rakas, or you can pray it up to eight rakat. That's you pray two by two. Okay, so make your day, basically your aim is to make your day filled with ibadah, filled with acts of worship as much as possible, because we know that the hasanat are greatly multiplied in this month. So spend your time between prayers and, you know, reciting Quran, doing dhikr, and of course you obviously have other things to do, right? So you have obviously housework to do. You have, you might have to help your children. They've got their schooling they've got to do, things like that. So that's why it's very recommended for you to have done some ibadah early in the morning, because you might have to get up, for example, even do uni work, right? You might have to study. So if you've done your ibadah first thing in the morning, at least you've done something towards your day. Then you focus with your intention for Allah to go about your responsibilities that you're rewarded for as well. All right. And you can be doing dhikr as well while you're doing those responsibilities. Like before you wash the dishes, bismillah, you know, whatever you've got to do, try to remember Allah. Like you're having a break from your study, do some adhkar. La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You know, do some adhkar in between. The main thing is to try to keep pushing yourself back towards, you know, acts of worship, inshallah, as much as possible. All right, so that's our morning. Then we've got dhuhr. We've got the prayer for dhuhr. And now I just want to mention something as well. Another of our goals for this month is to try to pray what's called the 12 rawatib prayers. The 12 rawatib prayers, the 12 prayers which are the sunnah prayers which are connected to the fard. So to pray two rakatain before fajr, four raka'at before dhuhr, you pray them two and two, and then two or rakatain after dhuhr, then two after maghrib, two after al-isha. So our aim is to pray 12 nawafil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that whoever prays these 12 extra prayers, these 12 rawatib prayers, that Allah Ta'ala will build for them a house in Jannah. So this should be an aim, especially in Ramadan. If we don't normally do it, we try to at least do it in Ramadan as much as we can. Okay, so that's the dhuhr, four raka'at before dhuhr, then your dhuhr prayer, then two. Okay, and then whichever you have to do, maybe you have to cook something like that in the afternoon, or you've got work to do, and then you've got asr. Again, don't delay your prayers. Make sure you try to pray them within the first half an hour or maximum 1 hour so that you get the maximum reward for your prayer, inshallah. Then as Maghrib comes close, right, try to make dua just before Maghrib. Many of the ulama said this is a time when the fasting person's dua is particularly accepted, just on the moment you're about to break your fast.
In the hadith,
why? Because they said, because this is when the fasting person is feeling in need and feeling the most vulnerable, just before they're about to break their fast. So make a lot of dua at that time. And, you know, when you're making dua in particular, make dua that Allah Ta'ala saves you from the fire and makes you from those who are forgiven, and writes you and records you as being from amongst those who are forgiven in this month, inshallah. So, you know, you probably all know, but, you know, break your fast with an odd number of dates is recommended, and then praying Maghrib straight away before you go and sit down and eat your meal. And then after that, after you have your meal, it'll be time for al-isha. And again, you pray your sunnah after Isha. And then, inshallah, you can pray your Taraweeh, which I already went through before. So that's basically an outline or a goal, like, you know, the way that we set out our day, the daily plan. And like I said, subhanAllah, the fact that we're going to be so busy focusing on all these different things we have to do all day, the time will go. SubhanAllah, we won't feel the time because we're very focused in moving from one activity to the next. But what are those activities? You know, acts of worship you're doing for Allah that you're being rewarded for, subhanAllah. Okay, so this is the basic outline, inshallah. And you've got to remember that all this ibadah you're doing, all these acts of worship you're doing in this month, all of that is helping you to reach your goal in this month of a taqwa. Okay, all these acts of worship, all this, what is the purpose of all this, you know, fasting and prayers and dhikr and dua and all of these things we're going to be doing? It's all to get the taqwa of Allah, to get that higher level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that higher level of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we leave this, you know, we leave this month of Ramadan changed and better than we were before we came into it, inshallah. So, you know, be from those, you know, your main aim out of this month is to be from those who get the forgiveness of Allah ta'ala and are saved from the fire. That is your main aim out of this month. And so that Allah ta'ala records you as being from those who enter al-Jannah, inshallah. So this Ramadan in particular, spend your time really pondering over the names of Allah Ta'ala in particular. This is a month for us in particular, this month, to spend our time really pondering over the names of Allah Ta'ala. You know, how Allah is al-Ghani. He is the one who we are all in need for. He is the one who is completely independent of us. You know, as Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O mankind, verily you are the most poor to Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah is the most rich and He is the most independent. إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبَكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. So Allah says, if He wants, He could make all of you, yani, be gone. SubhanAllah, يُذْهِبَكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, and bring a whole new creation. وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And that is not too hard for Allah. So in particular, you know, I'm thinking about these verses in particular now, showing our vulnerability. Like, we, you know, mankind in general thought they're so strong with their advancement and, you know, their technology and their, you know, whatever they have. And subhanAllah, Allah is humbling mankind through this virus, subhanAllah. So in particular, this month, focused on Allah's names, Al-Qawi, Al-Aziz, Al-Ghani, you know, and show your feeling of weakness to Allah. Realize how truly weak we are and how truly vulnerable we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can show that through your khushu' to Allah and your dua to Him in this month. And the other thing too would be, you know, if you feel alone in lockdown and you're feeling alone and vulnerable due to not having your social support around you, it's a great reminder of how alone we're going to be feeling on the day of resurrection when we meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the day when Allah says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. On the day when a person would run away from all of who they love, and everybody would just be concerned about their own self. So this is a great reminder. This month of Ramadan in lockdown is a great reminder for the loneliness we will feel in Yom Qiyamah, and to remind yourself of how much you're going to be in need for these prayers that you're going to be doing in this month, how much you're going to be in need for this fasting that you're going to be doing in this month, how much you're going to be in need on that day with that, for that dhikr and that dua that you're going to be doing in this month, inshallah. So keep all of that in your mind, and all of that will help you to be motivated. And remember that a day will come, we'll be standing in front of Allah Ta'ala alone with no one to help us, no support whatsoever. And we'll see the fire in front of us. And at that moment, you'll be wishing for any dua you said, any sadaqah you gave, any prayer you did just to save you from that fire. May Allah protect us. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala forgive us. May He not let one of us leave this month except He forgave us and entered us into Jannah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to protect all of our ummah, and, you know, to have mercy upon all of our deceased. And I ask Allah Ta'ala that He brings us back, or returns all of us back to Him in this month in a way which we have never, ever, you know, been this close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala like we will be through this month. Bi-idhnillahi Ta'ala. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.